Hey, good morning, Agape. How are you doing? It is a bright, sunny morning here in Bangkok, Thailand. Super excited to be with you this morning and to be able to share with you. It is mid-October. I hear that it's not cold there yet, which I'm sure you are all thankful for. But here we're getting a little bit cooler, not very much cooler. Maybe our lows are in the mid to upper 70s. Our highs are still in the 90s, and it's rainy season, so it'll rain an hour or two every day and keep the humidity as high as possible. And so we're in the tropics, and so it's not ever it's never cold here. But anyways, super excited. So let's get into it. Let's pray, and we can get started for your amazing Sunday that you're gonna have. Lord, we just thank you for this day. We just worship you, Father. We've already worshiped you in song, and now we want to worship you by learning and studying your word, that we could find ways in our life to continue to grow closer to you, to have more wisdom, to be able to follow your leading better, Father, that we would just have an overall increase in our closeness with you this week, that we would be able to hear that whisper that comes from the Holy Spirit, and that we would be able to follow the still small voice, the leading of the Holy Spirit on the inside of us. We thank you for these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, I want to talk to you today about our walk with the Lord. Every time we talk about our walk with the Lord, right? But I want to talk about how do we maintain a fervency in our relationship with the Lord? And or how do we keep, a fire, a fresh fire in our heart in serving the Lord? Most of you, well, I don't want to say most of you, I don't know, but from what I understand about agape, a lot of you have been there a long time. A lot of you have been Christians for a long time. You've been serving the Lord for a long time. And so, when you do that, it's very easy to start to get, it's easy for the fire to kind of dwindle. Has anybody ever, have you ever gone to a conference and at the end of the conference, you're like on cloud nine, so to speak. You're fired up. You're excited. You just spent this close, time, whether it was a weekend or whether it was a day or whether it was maybe it was a special service. We all have those in our memory bank from some time in the past. And unfortunately, that's not the way that we live 100% of the time. And that's okay. That's okay. I really am encouraged when I see Peter in the Bible, the Apostle Peter. It seems like he's doing great one moment, and the next moment he's getting rebuked by Jesus. If you've ever been rebuked by somebody, like legitimately you should have been, imagine having that happen from Jesus. I love Peter. But we all have those times. We have those moments and those seasons. There is definitely an ebb and flow with our relationship with the Lord, and that's normal. If you feel that, that's normal. That's something we all go through. That's something we all deal with. But how can we continue to have the trajectory to be going higher with Him, or deeper with Him, or closer with Him? How can we live a little bit more consistently with that step, with that passion, with that way of how we do things? I have been a Christian a long time, and I have had those seasons. We've all had them, where it's just not super exciting. And so I want to lead off with my key verse, which is Luke chapter 24. The whole passage is verse 13 through 34, and it's where Jesus is after his crucifixion, after his resurrection, and he's walking with two disciples on the road, and they get to where they're going, and he's going to walk further. And he says, they say, "Hey, stay with us a little bit." And he was talking to them about the prophets and everything that in the Old Testament that was pointing towards him. In verse 30, it says, "Now it came to pass as he sat at the table with them, that he took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished from their sight. Now, my favorite verse is verse 32. It says, and they said to one another, the two disciples, they looked at each other. What did they say? This is what they said. They said, did not our heart burn within us while he talked to us on the road and while he opened the scriptures to us? I want you to dig deep into that memory bank. Some of you, it wasn't that long ago. Some of you, it might have been years ago. Dig deep into that memory bank and remember what it was like when you had an experience with the Lord where you could say maybe similar to this, that your heart burned within you. There was this connection. There was this, you know, I always have a hard time explaining God's anointing and or his presence because it's not a feeling. It's definitely not a feeling, but it is a sensing. And I think these guys, I think that's why they, you know, they said that their hearts burned within them when he was talking to them, but they didn't recognize it and realize it until later on. And I think some of that is because it's not a feeling, it's a sensing. You ever had that happen when you feel like something's just off, and then later on in the day or that night, you find out why you had that feeling? Is because something was off. Maybe you know, I have this happen all the time. I can't remember what I'm supposed to do. I can't remember, you know, like I'll have a lingering nagging thing back here where it's like, I've got to do this thing. And I can't remember what it is. But then I remember, it's like, oh, that's been nagging at me for the whole day. I just went to the Thai Department of Transportation. I spent 2 days there, and it actually wasn't as bad as it can be even in America, but I've had to take a test. I had to take a driving test to get my driver's license and get a motorcycle license. And so the test is in Thai, but they translate it into English, and the questions don't make sense. Some of the answers are exactly the same in English, and they're not concerned with whether it was translated right. They're not willing to change it. So I knew, you know, there was this like anxiety that was there. And then yesterday, I passed. Hey, yay, I passed. But you know, I got home maybe 4 or 5 hours later, and I still had this like nagging thing. And I'm like, what is that? And it was because I was worried about taking this test. And so, you know, I had to remind myself, oh, wait, that's over. That's done. That thing that I had to remember to do, to study and all that, it's gone. It's done. I cannot feel that way anymore. And so I think that, you know, we have that where it's kind of a sensing. It's not necessarily a feeling. But I want you to think back to a time when you had that and what it was like and how much you enjoyed that. You know, I remember when my dad for sure, I think my mom might have come too as well. This would have been like 10 years ago, 15 years ago, when Agape, when you were doing the Father's Heart conferences. I remember my dad, he was just like, we just sit and we listen to this teaching, and it's he's trying to explain it, you know, and it's like just so encouraging and warm, and I love it. And when I'm listening and I'm hearing it, my spirit's like going, yes, that's it. Like that type of thing. I believe that is similar to what the disciples were experiencing here. And so I want you to think about a natural thing we can think of, which is a campfire. You guys all know what campfires are like. When we get one of those weekends, it's like throwing fire. I'm sorry, not throwing fire. We're not going to throw fire. It's like throwing gasoline on the fire. It's like we get this poof. We get this, you know, this really big fire blazing in our heart. And then what happens? If we don't tend to that fire, if we don't tend to that passion that we have on the inside of us, it can, and normally will, unless you do something about it, it will grow cold. And so what are some of the dangers of growing cold in our relationship with the Lord? Here is something, Matthew chapter 24, verse 12, it says, and because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. And Jesus is talking about how the love of many, the love that we have for the Lord, is going to grow cold. And the reason for that is because lawlessness will abound. Lawlessness will abound. And that's not my topic of it, but my desire for everybody, for every Christian that I believe, is that we would continue to have a fervency and a passion for the Lord. Because when we have that, when we're walking in that, and we can nurture it to be something that's a regular thing in our life. And I went through burnout a couple of years ago. I went through some difficult times, and I was impressed, and I actually am encouraged by even preparing this message. I need to do better at maintaining the fervency in my own life. But just to be able to consistently have that interaction with the Holy Spirit, it doesn't feel as intense because we get used to it, and it's almost like a drug. You know, you do a little bit the first time you probably do a drug. I've never done drugs. You know, it's probably amazing, and then you need more, and you need more, and you need more. Oh, I am a drug addict. I am addicted to coffee, and so, you know, the first cup, you're like, you can't sleep at night. Now 6 cups a day, and you're still like, I need more. Speaking of coffee, what is it that happens in our lives? And this is what it is. It's something very simple, and it's something, in some ways, it's very sneaky, like it sneaks up on you. You know, it's not something that we make a decision to do consciously where, no, I'm not going to, I don't, you know, and we just think that it's going to be there always. It's kind of like that campfire. You ever been camping, you got a big fire, and you go to bed, you fall asleep, you wake up, the fire's gone. There's a little bit of coals left over. A very different scenario from when you went to sleep. And so our lives can be like that. And if you're there in that spot where it's like you're waking up the next morning and there's just a few embers left, that's okay. We can fan those flames. We can put some more wood on the fire and we can get that burning hot again. And so here's what happens. You know, you'll skip a day of your Bible reading. You'll skip praying because you get busy, right? And listen, I am not that person that reads my Bible every day, but I read it consistently. And so, you know, I'm not saying, oh my gosh, you missed one day. Now your spiritual life is going to be wrecked. No, you know, and I'm not even an advocate for you have to read a large portion of scriptures. It can be one or two scriptures. It can be as little as, you know, you're spending some time worshiping and a verse comes up and you go and you read that verse, but that verse really speaks to you. There's a truck going by. I don't know if you can hear that. But that verse really speaks to you. To me, that's what's more important. But this is what happens. You know, we skip Bible reading. Maybe we skip some prayer time. Maybe we skip church. And it begins to be, you know, worship begins to feel familiar. And here are some symptoms. And so if you have some of these symptoms, it was a fly, not a bee. Thank the Lord. If you have some of these symptoms, then maybe you need to pay attention. Not to me, but to yourself, right? So you'll have a loss of hunger for God's word. You know, that can happen even as you just mature as a believer, where it's like, yeah, you know, I mean, if you had the most amazing meal, you went to some Michelin star restaurant, it was amazing. But if you had that every day, what's going to happen? You're not going to crave it. That's just natural. That's just a human. That's just when you're used to it, you don't crave it like you used to. And the word of God can become like that. And that's why we have to be careful. That's why we have to pay close attention, because the devil is going to do everything that he can to take us out. He's going to do everything that he can to make our lives have less power, less of an impact on other people, and that our light would shine dimmer and dimmer. And so loss of hunger for God's word, prayer becomes duty instead of delight. You want to know some of the best prayer times that I've ever had in my life? Hopefully you said yes. I'm guessing with Clear Lake, nobody did. I'm guessing someone had a smart answer. No, I'm just kidding. I can't remember what I was saying. So some of the best prayer times in my life are the ones when prayer has become duty. It has become a responsibility. It has become a thing that I check off the list once it's done. And I say, okay, now I'm done praying for the day. I can go on doing what I want to do. That's a bad place to be. You know, if you're there, that's okay. You can change. But prayer becomes a duty. And so some of the best prayers that I've ever had are when I go to the Lord and I'm actually saying, hey, Lord, this just feels like duty. This just feels like I'm only doing it because I have to. And I don't want, and then that leads into some amazing times of prayer where I actually feel that warmth and that passion again. What else can happen? Worship feels mechanical. Have you ever had that feeling where worship feels like, okay, you know, we're halfway through the second song. We have 1.5 more songs. Then we're, you know, like it feels mechanical. It feels, I was somewhere, I was at a church in the past couple of weeks. And I raised my hands and not that I was new, but you know, in worship. And I remember thinking, wow, that is like so mechanical. I don't really want to raise my hands, but I felt like I was supposed to, or whatever I did, you know, or just habit. When worship becomes mechanical, it's a sign, it's a symptom of what's happening on the inside. You stop sharing your faith, instead of faith, it could be you stop sharing your testimony. You stop talking about the Lord. You stop sharing your faith with other people. Sin doesn't bother you like it did before. It's another symptom. You're like, well, you know, and it's amazing how we can go down this path and we don't even notice it. And so if some of those things are happening in your life, in your heart, this is what's going to happen. That coldness is then going to lead to distance. And it's not that God's far from you. And this is where I think it gets, it's not complicated, but it gets to be a bit nuanced, because I don't like the teaching of, well, God's far from you. Well, you haven't checked all the boxes. And so, you know, God's not going to answer your prayers. I'm not that kind of person. I don't believe like that. I'm sorry. There's just too much amazing mercy and grace. And it's not based on what we do. It's based on our faith. And whenever we have faith for something, God is there. I've had times when it's maybe spiritual, like a spiritual drought. And God answered my prayers because he responds to faith. And so I'm not that kind of person. But we do have to be careful. And it's not that God's far from us. And this is the thing. I think two sides of this. Some people say, well, God doesn't leave us if we don't do all the things. He's still with us. And so we're okay. Yes and no. And the other side is, well, if we have to do all these things to keep God close to us, you know, the Holy Spirit's living on the inside of us, and he's not going to leave us. Even if you sin, he's not going to leave you, because that sin doesn't enter into your spirit. It's carnality. It's your flesh. Okay. You're not going to lose your salvation because you sinned. But that doesn't mean that we want to stay far away. So you guys know my kids. They're my kids no matter what, right? They're my sons. They're always going to be my sons. I'm always going to be their dad. That will never change. I'm happy about that. They may be, maybe not so much. No, they are. I'm sure that they're happy about it. I'm sure they think I'm the best dad in the world. But if I go to America and they're here, and I go to America for 3 or 4 weeks, there's distance. And the relationship experiences distance. It's not the closeness. And sometimes it takes, you know, I get back and hang out with the boys, and sometimes it takes a little bit of time to get back into that. Okay, we're in the right rhythm. We're close. We're spending time together. And so it's not so much that you're not a son of God, but it's that you haven't been connecting to that. You haven't been connecting to intimate times with the Lord regularly. And that can be a challenge. That can be something that we can consider that. We would consider that. That there's distance between you and the Lord. It's not, your salvation has not been affected. Your power has not been affected in the sense that you still can do all the things that God's told you you can do. You can still do all the promises that are in the Word, but you're not in a position to do it because you kind of withdrew a little bit, pulled back. And so 1 Timothy 3, chapter 5, this is something that this is a verse that's always spoken to my heart. And it says, Paul says, he's talking about what's going to happen in the end days. People are going to be lovers of themselves. They're going to be proud. They're going to be, you know, all these things. And he says, having a form of godliness, but denying its power. So it's not like, he's not talking about, you know, Sodom and Gomorrah type people. He's talking about people who have a form of godliness. They look godly. And there's a lot of Christians that you can run into, talk to, have an interaction with, where you look at them and they have character. They have habits that are very Christian. They talk like a Christian. They have a form of godliness, but they're denying its power because of the condition of their heart, because they haven't continued to maintain this relationship, because they haven't, maybe they've grown cold, and that's led to having a little bit of distance. And so we don't want that to happen. God doesn't want us to be lukewarm. So how do we do this? In Revelation chapter 2, verse 5, Jesus says to one of the churches, he says, consider how far you have fallen, repent and do the things that you did at first. So one way that we kind of maintain, and or if there's a bit of distance, if the coals are a little bit cooler, what can we do? Ask yourself, what did I do when I first fell in love with Jesus? What are some of the things that you did that you just automatically did that no one had to tell you to do? I have friends who are like, I just couldn't stop reading the Bible. I just love the Bible. I just worshiped, and I couldn't turn on a worship song without just weeping. Yeah, what was it that you did in the beginning? In return, you know, this verse says, repent. And that's okay. Repentance doesn't mean that you're Sodom and Gomorrah. Repentance means you need to change and make an adjustment. It means to turn around, to go back to the way that you were, to deny whatever that path was and come back. And so what is that? And here are some things that you can do really closely, really quickly, because I don't want to go over. You can stay close by the word and prayer. So Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 29, he says, is not my word like a fire, says the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks the rocks in pieces? If you want to stay on fire, you need to stay in the word. If you want that warmth, if you want those coals to burn brightly, you've got to stay in the word. And this is some things that I want to share with you. And this is how I read the word. It's a form of meditation, and it's more than just reading the word, reading like you'd read a book. And this is what we've got to come to. You know, there's informative reading, and then there is formative reading. And I put a pause in there so we can make sure we differentiate those words. Informative is when you get information. Formative reading is when what you're reading is forming what you believe. And the word of God, we can get good information from it, but the word of God is supposed to be formative reading. We're supposed to allow the word of God to speak to us, to show us where we are, to show us what we need to change, to show us what we need to work on. And then we're able to do and be and act like God wants us to do, be and act. And so Psalm chapter 39, verse 3, I found the verses where it talks about how, you know, people's hearts are on fire for the Lord, because that's what I want to have happen with you. And it probably is happening to a certain degree, but then it would be more. The psalmist said, my heart was hot within me while I was musing, the fire burned. And then I spoke with my tongue, and it goes on to say what he prays. So he was obviously in a time of prayer with the Lord. And I was going to look up this word. I didn't. While I was musing, from my belief, what I've always had as an understanding of this word means like while he was musing, while he was entertaining the Lord, while he was thinking about the Lord, while he was meditating on the word or God, he was communing with the Lord. And he says, my heart was hot within me. You know what? This is my prayer for this sermon, because I could keep going for hours and hours talking about this. When you get done listening, I don't care where, I don't care if the coals have been sitting in the fire pit for months and there's no warmth. If you have the desire that you want there to be more warmth, that you want there to be more passion, that you want there to be more fervency with the Lord, all you got to do is ask him. All you got to do is start spending a little bit more time with him. And so this is what we're going to do. Before you read, this is what I do before I read. And I don't read to get information. I read. This is separate from like Bible reading. Like, hey, I want to read all these books so I can understand more about the word. This is where I'm specifically meditating on the word. I'm specifically saying, Lord, I want you to speak to me. This is what I do. You always ask God to, I ask God, illuminate my mind, warm my heart, and form my will. And this has been, it's such a simple thing, but it's been so powerful for me to where I say, okay, yes. And it happens. And then what I do is I do slow reading of a chapter or a verses. I read them slowly. I read them out loud. I read them multiple times. And then I try to, I call it distill the meaning. You know what happens when you distill something, you know, or you reduce something when you're cooking, you boil it, that you pull out the important things that you're trying, you're extracting something from something else. Or you're turning, you distill the teaching. What does this tell me about God or Christ? These are some questions I ask myself. What does this tell me about what God or Christ is and does? You know, his personal work. Is there something in here that tells me how amazing God is? Is there something in here that tells me about what Jesus did for me? What is this? Who is Jesus? What is this telling me about me? How do I see myself in this story, in this passage of scriptures? Or about who I should be or who we are in Christ? Here's some just simple questions. Then I write those things down. I write answers down to those questions. You could probably go on Google. You could probably come up with any three or four questions that are just thought-provoking questions, and they will work just fine. But what I do once I write those answers is I pray those answers. I pray over those things, and I start to just spend time with the Lord. And I like to write my prayers. I don't always start with that, but if I get to praying and I got to, you know, this is what happens normally. This is when the Holy Spirit speaks to me. And it's when the Holy Spirit will speak to you too. While I'm doing that, my mind's just going to start going. And it's going to be, well, what about that verse? And then there's this other verse over here. And that verse means this. And this verse connects to the other verse. And they all come back to this first verse that I just read. And that's like revelation. That's a download from God. Revelation from God about something. And that's how the Holy Spirit speaks to me. And I believe it's how the Holy Spirit speaks to us. It's through his word. It's through the Holy Spirit speaking in our heart. And then it's coming into our mind. This is how we renew our mind. Romans chapter 12, verse 1, it says that we are to renew our mind. We're not to be conformed to the world, but we're to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. This is that process. And when I do that, that's like putting, sometimes it's like putting a fire on the log. And sometimes nothing happens. I feel like nothing. I feel just as cold and just as distant as I did before. That's okay. I keep putting it on there because there's embers underneath there and there's fire that is there. And so 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6, Paul says, therefore I remind you to stir up the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. The NIV version says, fan into flame the gift of God, which is within you. And I want to encourage you. I want to leave you with this. Fan into flame the gift of God that he's put into you, the word of God that you've put into yourself, and allow the Holy Spirit to bring back that warmth, that passion, that amazing love that you had before. Lord, we just thank you for this time. Thank you for these people. Lord, we thank you that you are doing incredible and amazing things in our lives. We worship you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey guys, have an amazing week. Love you guys. Talk to you next time.